You're listening to Westside Church. For more information, visit us at westsideinfo.com.
Once again, good morning, everybody. It's great to see all of you here. If you don't know me, my name is Steve. I have the privilege of leading the team that leads the church here at Westside. And boy, have we been in a busy season so far. It's been great to experience the goodness of God in the middle of whirlwinds and lots of things going on. And looking forward to Christmas next week. And it's getting approaching fast. And how many of you have all your shopping done? All right, you're the crazy ones. All right, no, you're the pre-planners. How many haven't even started yet and are proud of it? All right, those are totally opposite types of people that raise your hand. You should get together, balance each other out, and use your gifts to serve one another. Isn't that fun? I love God's, the way he built us, so many different personalities and giftings, and that's what makes up a body. Everybody does their part. We've got a couple of announcements for you this morning. One is a week from Tuesday is Christmas Eve, and we will have our candlelight services here. It's a great evening, and we have three services, 4, 5:30, and 7, and they're relatively short. They're just a little under an hour, and they're on one hand, they're traditional and memorable and those kind of things and lovely. On the other hand, we share very clearly the good news of Jesus Christ and why he came. And so it's a good mixture of family, getting together. If you have people from out of town, make sure you bring them. Plan your Christmas Eve evening around one of those. I'm sure that you could fit around one of those. And it's a great opportunity to invite somebody. Maybe they're looking for a church home in this area. It's a good way to expose them to that. Some of you will be out of town visiting your family and friends. So we pray that you'll have a safe journey, drive safely, fly safely. And also, share the love of Jesus when you're in that sphere of influence as well. So those are coming up next week. We have little cards that are little invitations, so I encourage you to pick up one or two of these. Prayerfully consider somebody that you might invite, a neighbor, a family friend, or a coworker, and bring them along. Even offer to pick them up or take them out for dinner before or after. That'd be great. So that's Christmas Eve coming up. Also, this is a last-minute thing. There is a holiday ice skating rink here in Placerville, and my good friend Dave Cook from over at Cold Springs called me this week and asked if I'd join in with him and Jim Wells down at New Hope Church, and so the three of us churches were sponsoring one of those evenings. It's this Tuesday evening, so you get half off on skating. We got that graphic, so that's what these little flyers are for. So that's this Tuesday at either the 4 o'clock or 6 o'clock session. I will be there in skates, and so this will be memorable evening. And so it's over at the fairgrounds. It's at the fairgrounds, and so take a look at that. The information is on here, and you can get more with, there is a website link on that page there. So anyway, hope to see you there. It's just fun. It's one of those things that it was last minute, and we said we'd love to help out, and so that's what we're doing. So I'm going to invite my best friend in the world up here to speak to you this morning. This is Terry, and she's got a great word of encouragement and exhortation for us here this morning. Father, I pray that you bless Terry, pray that you protect her, help her to articulate what you have put on her heart, and God, may we receive encouragement as from your Holy Spirit this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Everybody, it's wonderful to be here this morning. Merry Christmas early. Again, I'd like to say thank you to all of the men who served us yesterday at our ladies' Christmas tea. We had men all dressed up. I've never seen them so dressed up. And serving the ladies at the tables. We had, my team. We had people working all week till late at night to put this building together for just a beautiful, beautiful time. I had a wonderful speaker, Stephanie Leeper, who's a very good friend of mine. I want you to know that message is already online for those who missed it, and for those men who would like to hear it, it's online on our website. So, And by the way, Stephanie's daughter-in-law, Janet, is in labor. In the last stages of labor right now, and Stephanie's wanting to get there. Last Sunday, I had the privilege of cheering my awesome family and friends on as they finished the marathon. CIM. They had trained and planned, and Steve had set this date a year ago and said, I'm going to lose weight enough so that I can run that marathon. So he had this goal. He lost almost 60 pounds. Yes. And so Mike and Joey and Matt and Allie and I kind of hopped around in the car and to cheer them on at several sites. And they finished. So Patty and Jenna and Emily and Steve and my son Brian all came across that finish line. It was amazing. They did a great job. So God put this message on my heart quite a while ago and has refining it in me. And so I've been passionate about it. It's like, yes, I want to deliver this message. And I know it's a word from the Lord, and I know it's for all of you. But up until Friday, I actually preached it Thursday night, and up until Friday, I didn't realize how much this message was for me. So you'll hear more about that later. But in our reading, of course, the Sadducees cannot stand Paul and the apostles, and they're preaching Jesus in the temple and in the public square. And they keep arresting him and beating him and letting him go. And so then this last time, they arrested them, and they're trying to figure out, what are we going to do with these people that won't stop preaching Jesus? And then an angel appears to the apostles in the jail, and he says, I'm springing you. I want you out of here. I want you back in the temple and preaching. And so the high council is trying to figure this out, and somebody, Gamaliel, says, you know, if this thing is from man, it will fail. If it's from God, then there's nothing you can do about it, and you don't want to be accused of coming against God. And then somebody comes and says, hey, you know those guys you're talking about? They're in the temple preaching. This is after they had flogged them, beat them, and let them out and said, we're just going to let them go, and directed them not to preach. And so this is where we pick up Acts 5:40-42. It says, the others accepted his advice, the high council. They called in the apostles, had them flogged, severely beaten. Then they ordered them never again to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. The apostles left the high council rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace in the name of Jesus. Just severely beaten, and then leaving rejoicing that they were worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. And every day in the temple from house to house, they continued to teach and preach this message. Jesus is the Messiah. And I tell you today, Jesus is your Savior. He is the one who brings peace and will set you free and will give you hope. Jesus is our Messiah. So the apostles were all in. They wanted to be obedient to God. They knew that the reality, this world was temporal. The reality was that they were going to get to be with Jesus down the road. And they wanted to be able to tell everybody they could before they went to see Jesus. And so they had that all-in-ness that we need to have as well, a sense of urgency to preach. And why do we need to have that? Because there's the reality of a Christless eternity, of people going to hell if they don't say yes to Jesus before they take their last breath. Reality, there is a real hell to shun. We've got to be about loving people, loving them enough to tell them the truth. Suffering today in our context is much different from suffering around the world. There's people in the Middle Eastern states and or Middle Eastern nations and dangerous nations around the world that have imprisoned pastors and preachers and Christians for preaching the name of Jesus. We don't hear so much go out and preach in the public square. But we are called to serve him, to grow in him, to become more like him, and to share at every opportunity that he gives us. Are we doing that? Are we being an example to our children? Are we leading our children when there's a crisis in their life, leading them to Jesus? You know what? I don't have the answer, but Jesus does. Let's pray. Are we letting the children come to him? Jesus said, let the children come to me. Sometimes we say, oh, we're too tired. We're going to stay home. We're going to stay home today. We need some family time. Let the children come to Jesus. Give them every opportunity. Because at some point in their little growing up, adolescence, teenagehood, they might say, you know what? It hasn't been that important to you in the past. It's not important to me either. We want to give them that longevity of coming to Jesus. The devil hates us, and he wants to take us out. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against powers in the dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It is real. There's a struggle. There's a real struggle going on. We've got to hold on to this peace that we have in Jesus. We've got to hold on to this hope that we have in Jesus and going forward. And there's times we're going to be hard-pressed on every side and we're going to have sorrow. We're told that in the Bible. It's going to happen. Don't be surprised. Don't be slapped upside the head and wobble and shake and be torn. Deuteronomy 29:29 says the secret things belong to God. They don't belong to us. They're things that God knows alone. We don't understand. It's like, why, God? Why did this happen? He knows. We need to just trust him. We need to trust him. We need to know that he loves us. I'll tell you, everything that he does and does not do is for your highest. It's out of his love for you. He loves you. Steve and I tell young people, use that term loosely, people that are looking toward marriage, and we tell them, you want to find somebody. You don't want to settle for anything less than this. You want to find somebody who loves God more than they love you. And I'll tell you, God loves you more than is humanly possible to understand. His love for you is so great. Receive that today. So when you're suffering, I'm going to talk about suffering for a little bit. I'm going to give you some points on what not to do when you're suffering. And then I'm going to give you the big point. The big point of what I want to deliver today. Number one, don't doubt. Don't doubt. I heard this when I was a teenager. Steve's dad told me this when I was a teenager. He says, doubt your doubts and believe your beliefs. Don't doubt your beliefs and believe your doubts. Don't doubt what you know God to be. 2 Timothy 3:14 talks about continuing in what you've learned. Continue in that. Don't let it go. Number two, don't make sudden moves and decisions. When you're in the midst of sorrow and crisis, don't quit your job all of a sudden, unless God clearly tells you. Don't sell your house. Don't leave the church on a whim. When you're going through sorrow, stay the course. Number three, don't forget the basics. Number one is be in Christ. Have him as your Savior and your Lord, the center of your life. Number two, be in his word. His word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It tells us that he shows us where we are and he shows us where we're going. Isn't that wonderful? The word of God. Be in his presence in worship and devotion. Psalm 16:11 says, "You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living in you forever." It's a wonderful thing to enjoy the Lord and be in his presence. Another one is inquire of the Lord. Pray. Make your request known before God. Supplicate. That's like, "Dad, please, I don't get it." Supplication. And thank him. And then be in community. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It's so important. It's so important to get encouragement and to get prayer. And when you're having a baby and you need meals, when you're moving and you need somebody to help you pack, when all kinds of stuff. Community, people that love you and can surround you with his love. Don't isolate yourself. Don't just say, "Okay, I'm too down. I can't do it." But get in that door. Army crawl through that door if you have to. Just barely get there. And feel the love of God and his people. Okay, here's the big thing. Do. Here's the do. Take his peace. Take his peace. Take his peace. He gives lasting, supernatural peace beyond our understanding, beyond our comprehension. We cannot understand. How can we have peace in the midst of some things that we're going through? That peace carries us. It ensures us, assures us. It keeps us. It brings security, that wonderful peace that he gives. And so, first of all, I want to say today, make your peace with God if you haven't. If you haven't received him as your Savior, you can do that today. And I encourage you to do that. You need to do that. You need to do that. He died on the cross. Like Steve said, he was born a baby. In Bethlehem, and that's what we celebrate at this Christmas season. But we celebrate him all year long because he didn't stay a baby. He grew up and lived a perfect life. He had opportunity to sin, but he didn't. Why? So that he could demonstrate that there is a perfect sacrifice, and he gave himself a perfect sacrifice who did not deserve to die a horrible death on the cross for us who deserve bad things, who deserve punishment, because we know what we've done. Not only what we've done, but just the separation of us from God because of sin. But Jesus rose again 3 days later, just like he said he would. And he can be your Savior and your Lord today. You can receive him. And what it is, it's a heartfelt. It's not just, "Okay, I'll make a little room for you in my life." Like they didn't make room. There was no room for them in the inn, right? For him in the inn when Mary had Jesus. And so you don't say, "I'll make a little room for you, Jesus." No. With your whole heart, you say, "I believe. And I want you to be the center and the Lord of my life. I don't want to be Lord anymore." Even if you don't understand it all, but a heartfelt belief, a faith and a trust that says, "I take you, Lord. I thank you for what you did, and I believe on you." You can do that today, and you'd have peace with God. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us." Now, the opposite of peace is fear, worry, and anxiety, and these are negative human emotions that God knows that we have. And that's why he addresses it in his word. Philippians 4:6-7 says, Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. With thanksgiving, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing. Now, when the Bible gives such a strong directive, it's not try and have peace. You know, if you can start to have a little bit of peace. No, it's a directive. It's be anxious for nothing. And so I know that if God told us that, that he's given us the ability to do that. And we need to do that. When Paul wrote this about not being anxious, the Philippians were facing persecution, disunity in the church. They were having to deal with false teachers. They were having to just deal with the basic necessities of life. What are we going to eat? What are we going to clothe ourselves with? How are we going to live? And yet, Paul was able to say, don't be anxious about anything. And later in Paul's life, after he had been shipwrecked and beaten numerous times and imprisoned, he wrote Philippians 1:21, for to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. He wanted to live for Christ so that he can show others the way to Jesus. But even better, it's like, I want to be with you, Jesus. I can't wait till that day. We don't want to hasten that day. We want to stay here as long as God has us here to spread his word in our life and in our words. But we also have this wonderful hope and anticipation of seeing him face to face and being with him for all eternity. And it's better than anything you can imagine. So, the older I get, the more I don't do what I'm saying today. The older I get, the more fearful I am, the more worried I am, the more anxious I am. So let me tell you about my week. A week ago Saturday, my kids had come in a few days before that. My son Brian and my daughter Heather, and Steve had asked them to train for the marathon with him and run with him. So they came out, they've been training all year, working hard. They came out, and so we had a wonderful few days together, and then and it was like going back in time. Brian and Heather kept joking around, like, Mom, he's on my side of the line, and Mom, he's looking at me, and, you know, all this stuff. Because this was, I think, the first time that we had had, you know, our original family that we raised together, only us. And so we had a great time. So Saturday morning, we're sitting there, you know, all in our jammies. Steve will say, I don't wear jammies. But so we're all sitting there in front of the fire, and Heather gets up and says, you know, and I see her kind of wobble. I'm thinking, what's wrong, Heather? Sit down. And she says, you know, she kind of braced herself, and then she says, I'm going to throw up. So she starts walking down, feeling her way down the hall, you know, kind of stopping every few seconds or so. And so I get up, I'm like, Heather, you know, and just when I reach her, she's standing against the door jamb, and she blacked out cold and went down and face planted on the bathroom tile floor. And I just screamed, Heather! Steve and Brian came running and turned her over, and she was semi-conscious and rambling about something, you know, not decipherable. And she had a gash down her whole forehead. And I'm just like, what? And my peace went. And so it had just snowed the day before, right? Our whole driveway was full of snow. Steve's thinking, I got to get Paul down here, who's a paramedic. So he's calling, texting Paul, you know, just come down here and look at her. So Paul, with his big four-wheel drive, comes down the driveway, and we couldn't have gotten out at that point. We had to do some shoveling. comes in, checks Heather out. Oh, yeah, we got to go to ER. So Steve, Paul, and Heather are on their way to emergency. And long story short, you know, it's just a condition. If you're in change of altitude or exert or something, you know, you can just get this lightheadedness and you could black out. The thing to do is to lay down until it passes, not walk. But so she had a concussion, and she got 8 stitches down her forehead. And so the doctor said, listen, she told him about the marathon. He said, if you, I would advise against, but I know if you've been training all year, it's going to be hard for you. He says, if you feel great in the morning, he said, then you can go. But, he said, here's the problem, is if you have a second concussion on top of the first, it could be fatal. So I'm like, no, don't do it, Heather, don't do it. And anyway, she woke up the next morning. She felt great. She says, Mom, I'm going to be careful, and I'm going to go. And I said, okay, Steve and Brian, you stay on each side of her, and you don't let anybody trip her. And, you know. So in addition to that, she had a little bit of a cold. So started the marathon, and at mile 6, Mike and Joey and Matt and I are there, and here comes all 3 of them. They're together. Oh, thank you, Jesus! Yes! And then we hopped to mile 10, and Patty and Jenna and Emily passed, Steve and Brian passed, and I'm waiting for my girl. And Brian said, Mom, she's walking. She's okay. She's walking, so she's coming. So waiting and waiting and waiting, and then finally I see that pink cap coming up the hill, and I know there's something wrong. And so I just start taking off for her, and she just bends over and says, Mom, I can't breathe. And I said, Heather, you are not running. I'm taking you out. And paramedics came, listened to her lungs, and, you know, she basically had bronchitis. And it was 25 degrees out there, breathing that cold air, hard breathing that cold air. So anyway, I took her out, and she stayed in the car with me the rest of the day. And I was heartbroken for my girl. Everybody else finished the marathon, and she felt absolutely defeated and a failure. And we're all like, Heather, you had bronchitis, you had a concussion, you had a gash on your head. You ran 10 miles. Are you kidding me? Anyway, so Tuesday, this was Sunday. So Tuesday, we took our kids to the airport. And on the way home, I'm just feeling horrible. I just am starting to be achy. I'm just like, oh, I don't feel good. I can't be sick. I'm preaching. I have the tea. I cannot be sick. So we stopped to see our physician's assistant, and she said, you've got bronchitis. I'm like, no. First thing I asked was, is it contagious? And she said, no, okay? No, it's not contagious, so set your minds at ease. Gave me a strong, strong antibiotic. I feel 100% today. But so I go home and just don't feel good. I'm sitting in front of the fire. And this is one of Steve's pet peeves, is that I get a message in my heart, but I just don't put it on paper until the last minute. So he likes to plan everything way ahead. And he says, Terry, you got to get your notes into Kim on Tuesday. And so I just can't get it, you know, sit down and really concentrate and organize it until the last minute. So he's like, Terry, I try his patience. But so I think we got it to you Thursday morning, Kim. But so I'm sitting there preparing for this message, and I must have eaten something that didn't like me, and desperately sick the whole rest of the day. I won't go into any more detail on that. So Thursday I came, and I preached, and I felt like I delivered the message God gave me, but I just felt horrible. I felt resistance, not from people. I just felt spiritual resistance, and I just felt awful. And I went home. I was just like, God, what is it? I feel like I didn't do well. I feel like something is wrong. And so I slept on that, get up the next morning, and at a very timely time moment, I got a lovely encouraging text from Jenna Vanderdusen. And it just blessed my heart. I just said, God, I needed that right now. Thank you, Lord. And then, you know, we're getting ready for this tea, and all the girls are here, and they don't like me to come until it's absolutely finished. Don't like me in the way. But so Friday, I'm baking a batch of chocolate-dipped macarons. And they're for the Christmas tea. So I whip up a batch. I scoop them all out. There's only 60. And I said, oh, no, I'm starting to worry. Anxiety. Oh, no, I have to have one for everybody because they're awesome. And so I text Steve. I said, would you bring home some more ingredients? You know, bring home blah, 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 blah. So then God just hit me right then. I'm baking cookies and spiritual Christmas music is on, and I just got flooded with just a sense of gratitude. And I'm just so thankful. Thank you, God, for those girls that are working so hard over there. Thank you, God, who you are in my life. Thank you that you saved Heather's life. Thank you that I have kids that love you and serve you. Thank you for a wonderful, loving husband who comes to my aid at all my crises. Thank you for all these things. I just was filled with gratitude. And then just God just hit me. Terry, this message is for you. Take my peace. Take my peace. It's so easy not to have peace, isn't it? It's so easy to be anxious. So I just had all these good feelings, and then Steve comes home, and I look in the bags, and it's parchment paper and not wax paper. So the piece was gone. No, not exactly, but you know, there's so many trivial things that happen to us. Oh, okay. Take his peace. Take his peace. Take his peace. When you're going, someone once said this, when you're going through something hard and wonder where God is, remember the teacher is always quiet during a test. Wow. Now, that's not the Bible, but I thought it gives you some thought. It's thoughtful. All right, so there's a difference between anxiety and worry over something, and concern. Now, concern drives you to correct it and do something about it, right? It's a positive thing. You know, I have a concern about this. I need to take care of that. Anxiety and fear is something that can destroy us, and that's what we've got to get rid of and take his peace. Here's an example. We were concerned on Thursday morning when our heater went out. We're sitting there, and we've got this little fake fireplace, and it gives off a little bit of warmth, but the whole house was freezing. So we were concerned about this, and thank God for Bill Warden, this wonderful handyman of all things. And so Steve called him, and he came over and went up on the roof and said, after a while, he even had to saw through the vent and said, your heater vent is full of sprouted acorns. So lovely. So so he fixed it, and he you know, he brought me a whole bag, plastic bag full of sprouted acorns. So if you want to plant an oak forest, see me. I will give them to you. But Steve and I remembered several weeks ago sitting and looking outside. We do that every morning in front of the fire and And hearing this click clink, every couple minutes, click clink, and so Steve said, "What is that? Is there a rat in our ceiling? What's going on?" So he's looking, and he sees these two birds, and they're going to the tree. They're getting the acorn in their beak. They're flying back, click clink, going back to the tree, getting the acorn, flying back, click clink. Anyway, so we assumed that they were putting them in the rain gutter, which is okay, but not the heater vent. So good old Walt Disney says, "Why worry if you've done the very best you can? Worrying won't make it any better." So God tells us that we will have sorrows, but he wins. John 16:33 says, "I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world." You will have trials. You will have sorrow. I'm sorry. But he's overcome the world. John 14:27. These are awesome verses to keep with you. Says, "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." And Psalm 29:11 says, "The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace." And so what can we do that will help us to take his peace? Number one, stay in his presence, consciously aware of who he is. Make time to enjoy him. Make time to come before him in praise and thankfulness and in making our petitions known to him and just sitting and letting his peace rest on you, taking his peace. Focus on him. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you." God, I give you this. I give you this. I shouldn't be carrying this anyway. I give you this and I trust you. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." He's going to keep you in perfect peace. Fix your thoughts on him. Come into his presence. Number two is guard your thoughts. Align yourself with God's thoughts of you and not the enemy's. Take his peace. Speak declarations of faith. God, it is going to be okay. I trust you. I know you've got this wonderful track record in my life. I know that you're not going to stop now. I know that you know the whole plan. I know that you see different from me. You've got such a bigger perspective, God. I know that you're going to work this out. And I give you praise and I give you glory in the midst of it. Get rid of sinful thoughts. Guard your thoughts from sinful things. Get rid of anxious thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ." We can do that because the Bible tells us to do that. We can do that. Guard your thoughts. Romans 12:2. "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." In Matthew 6:31-33, "So don't worry about these things, saying, 'What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?' These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." Everything. Do you need peace today? He'll give you that. Take it. Do you need hope today? He'll give you that. Take it. And he tells us what to replace the thoughts that are negative with. He says in Philippians 4:8, he says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Think about these things. God, I give you my anxiety and my worry, and I'm thankful, and I think about the lovely things and all that you've done for me. I want to encourage you, especially during this season when it can get busy and stressful, I want to encourage you, take his peace. Jesus, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for what you teach us. Thank you for what you've done in our lives, Lord. We consciously say now, Lord, we take your peace, Lord. We put off the anxious thought. We put off the worry. And we take your peace, God, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, we let you know what's going on in our life. But we take your peace, and we thank you that that guards our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Terry. Appreciate that. I want to encourage you to take this message to heart. And during this time, it's a busy time of year, but take time, schedule time to be in his presence. Be aware of his presence every moment of every day. In his presence is fullness of joy. And guard your thoughts. Guard every thought that we have. And just tear it down in the name of Jesus if it comes against what God is designed to do. And I want to say to you once again that you cannot have the peace of God until you have made peace with God. I encourage you, make peace with God. Say, yes, Lord, I submit to your lordship. I lay down my agenda, and I want to follow you wholeheartedly. And you can make peace with God because of what Jesus did at the cross. That's the reason he came. And then you can have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. It'll guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We're going to receive our tithes and offerings now as we sing this last song. I encourage you to do that as part of your worship. This is one of three final opportunities for this calendar year for those of you that keep watch over those things. For taxable donations. Also, we have our communion at the back and the front. Jesus said, as often as you will, remember me. That's why he came. And we remember what he did because we celebrate the Lord's Supper often. This is for believers. Every believer is welcome to participate. And if you don't know what to do, just follow the person in front of you and see what they do. And then go back to your seat and just thank Jesus for what he's done for us. Let's stand together as we worship God.